Mambo, and welcome to MTF's This Is Africa, the filmmakers podcast for anything and everything film in Africa. We're based in Gaborone, Botswana, but we speak on all film news across the continent. I'm Nikita Neil Mokhware, actress and scriptwriter.
And I'm Serene Serena, scriptwriter and filmmaker. Today we'll be focusing on filmmakers. Those looking to make history, make magic, or make some changes as newly appointed guild presidents.
We're also going to be talking to Seko Shamte, Tanzanian filmmaker and director, about her newly released film, Binti.
Oh yes, I saw the trailer and it's so moving. Four women, four imperfect stories. That beginning got me hooked.
I mean, it really does look like a tearjerker. Hey? I love the story behind it. I'm so excited to get into it with her.
Right? Well, we'll get to talk more about it a little bit later.
Please.
Right now, let's congratulate the newly elected president of the Directors Guild of Nigeria.
Congratulations. Oh my. Election times, stress central. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I saw that the votes had been tallied this past weekend.
True. And the new president was announced to be the veteran Nollywood filmmaker Victor Okai.
Mr. Okai. Guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, yes. Veteran indeed. He's produced many documentaries. I mean, at some point, he was working for, like, you know, both BBC, CNN, how he co-founded the guild itself. Now that I remember, there it is. He co-founded the guild that he's being elected for.
Well, then, that's maybe why he won with such a great margin. He led the polls with 100 of the 151 total number of vote cast. It was a landslide. It was, I mean,
well,
yeah.
Brad, imagine. Do you know the amount of 100 of the 151? Do you know how the amount of bragging I would speak into this world if I won an election that well? I'd never shut up about it.
You know, you could always just be a little modest about it.
Modesty is for when you win 60 out of 151.
Nikita,
bragging
chill.
Rights. Click in once you pass the 95 mark. I'm sorry, I do not make the rules.
I feel like you just did.
No. Everyone knows these rules. Everyone.
I don't.
We're going around in circles. And I look, at the end of the day, right, with a reputation like his, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. 100 out of 151. Oh my gosh, but I shouldn't be surprised.
No, but he really is a veteran in this industry.
Yeah,
he's been around. He's done the things.
Been with a capital B, bruh. So the bigger issue, I guess, has to be asked, which is now, all right, great, he has this whole reputation and stuff, but what's he bringing to the table?
That's an important question. That's a really good question. And he basically has already answered it.
I'm sure he has, yeah.
Yeah, because in his acceptance speech, Okai didn't hold his tongue about the deteriorating Nigerian film industry.
Yeah, oh.
He says that even though the country is seeing a lot of opportunity, his main concern isn't the output of content, but the quality of that content.
I see. Yeah, that's a lot of concerns coming out of a lot of African countries right now. You know, so I'm guessing he wants the highest standard for film and television production. That's what he wants.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, what do you say in business? It's quality over quantity.
Quality over quantity, yeah. And it's nice that a lot of people are turning towards that right now.
Exactly.
Where it's like, okay, we've got the content, but now we need to make sure it's up to scratch.
There we go. He said, and I quote, we recognize that for us to compete globally, we must practice with the best practices, and that we intend to do. Henceforth, nobody's going to take your film unless it can meet international standard.
Yeah.
That right there is setting the bar.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like, he's putting in the rules and regulations for quality control.
I mean, but all we can do is wait and see. Easier said than done at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I like that he has such a strong conviction, though.
Yeah.
You know, to take the country's industry to the next level. It's why I personally favor guilds. Like, it's nice to work on your own and stuff, but they help give you and your colleagues visions and goals to work towards together. And I think that's really important, you know, despite what industry you may be in. It's good to work as a community,
as a unit,
yeah, yeah.
True, but it must also be a little difficult to steer the boat when it holds 100 of people in it and they all have their own ideas on how to move forward. They might have their own oars. They might steer the boat a different direction.
Yeah, no, this image is getting more and more chaotic the more I think about it.
I mean, like, yeah, we do need guilds. You know? It's how America right now is able to, it's how Hollywood is winning. It's how, you know, the British film industry is winning.
Australia,
it's how South Africa is you know, gaining. It's because of guilds.
They have a very important job, exactly. You know, I believe. Like, with the creative industry growing at the rate it is, mm-hmm. they really do have to put in that extra work to keep up,
yeah.
you know, to grow with the industry, not grow out of it.
Mm, and that's why I love Mr. Okai's vision so much. It aims to grow with the direction that the film industry is going in.
Mm.
I'm really hoping that he can influence the future of Nollywood's quality in content. Please. And, you know, that should also influence other African guilds to follow suit as well.
Yeah, you know, like, we just need to focus as a community. You know, pull ourselves towards ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then outwards to the audience, you know?
Hey, that's good advice, Nikki.
Thank you. Thank you. I try.
All right, now it's time to get some more advice and insight from our guest speaker, Seko Shamte, a Tanzanian director of her latest film, Binti. Hi, Seko.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm so excited to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Please, tell us a bit about yourself.
Mm.
Okay, my name is Seko Shamte. Hey. I am from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, born and raised, though I've traveled extensively and I've lived in other parts of the world. I am a film director, and Binti is my second feature.
Wow.
And Homecoming was my first feature that came out in 2016. Mm. And this is my second feature, and I am super excited and proud to share it with the world.
We're super excited to see it.
Yeah.
So we'd just like to know, what got you into directing? What made you feel, this is my field, yeah. this is the thing for me?
I'm a naturally controlling person.
Oh, wow.
I joke.
That's one way to put it.
I kid. I just always loved the creative arts from when I was pretty young. And I think for a lot of us who enter the creative arts, we're usually on that path from when we're children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was always, you know, the usual drama club, music club, playing instruments, being in all of the school productions. And I just felt like I had a knack for directing much more than acting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was something that I always knew I wanted to do. I always wanted to tell stories. And as I grew up and I became more aware of the history of Africa, I became, you know, really radicalized. And I was like, no, I have to tell African stories from the African perspective.
Decolonize your mind. Yes.
And yeah, then I really wanted to tell stories from the continent and stories from Tanzania, especially Tanzania, because I feel like Tanzanian stories are really, really underrepresented.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
And so that's what really got me into directing.
Mm.
So then tell us about Binti, you know, like, how did it all begin from development to distribution?
Okay, so Binti is actually, like I said, it's my second feature.
Mm-hmm.
So a good friend of mine, her name is Angela Ruhinda.
Mm.
She is also Tanzanian, but she was living in LA. She's a writer, an exceptional writer. Oh. And she decided that she was tired of the LA scene and wanted to move back home. And she was like, listen, I write, you produce and direct. I also write as well. And we were like, let's do something together.
Okay.
So we kicked off by doing this 5-minute film that's free. It's online. It's called Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
That she wrote and that I produced and directed. And that was, we had so much fun, and we realized that we can really work together. And so through her company, Black Unicorn Studios, she was like, you know, let's expand on what we've done and let's do a feature. And they had done a screenwriting competition through their production company, and they had landed upon a script that they thought would be perfect for us to work on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And once she brought me on board, I was like, okay, I read the script. I was like, okay, this is fantastic. I really like the stories that are being told. And so we sat down and we expanded the script. We introduced new characters. We just worked on kind of like adding a lot more of these women's experiences and mm-hmm. doing a bit more research so that we can really show authentic female characters. And after we finished the script, the two of us were like, let's shoot it. So yeah, we immediately went into pre-production. We started casting, and you know, we went into production in July of 2019, and then we started post in September of that year. And through some circumstances, I ended up having to edit the film. I edited it, and I did the first cut. And then in January 2020, I brought on a secondary editor named Jeremy. He's based out of LA, and I wanted somebody with the fresh set of eyes to come and look at it, because sometimes if you direct and edit a film, you can become very attached to things. You can become attached to a certain scene, for example.
Oh yeah, we creatives suffer from that.
So sometimes it takes somebody to tell you, like, you actually don't need that scene, or you actually don't need the full scene, or, you know, someone with a fresh set of eyes. So then my secondary editor, Jeremy, came on with a fresh set of eyes, and he trimmed it down to about an hour and 40 minutes. It was initially 2 hours. So we got rid of 20 minutes.
Wow.
And then, you know, we started working, and we started, you know, getting the rest of the post-production team together. And then, you know, as we know, COVID hit. And because a lot of our post-production, essentially my secondary editor was in LA, the music composer Dara was in LA, the guy who did the final sound edit, Hisham, he was in Egypt. Our color was done in South India. And our visual effects were done in Northern India. And it was just really trying, because everyone was going through each country had its own rules.
So, for example,
when India went into lockdown, I think it went on for 5 months. And it was not like a partial lockdown. It was for real. So they couldn't access their offices. They couldn't access their computers. You know, so like different things were happening. All over the world, and it just really slowed us down. Because you know, the movie would have come out last year, but the post production was really slowed down. But eventually everything came together, and in October last year we were able to kind of get to our final cut. And then once we got to our final cut, through a friend of mine, amazing friend of mine, he's also a filmmaker from Nairobi. His name is Tosh, amazing filmmaker. he told me about the distribution company that he was dealing with, and I was like, wait, let me see, maybe, you know, they would be interested. At the same time, we were also applying to film festivals. So once the distributor watched the cut of the film, they loved it. They were like, we want to distribute this. And at this, like maybe 2 weeks later, we found out that we got into the Pan-African Film Festival in LA. That's when things really started moving. And then our distributor, you know, also had notes. And from an hour, 40 minutes, the film was cut yet again down to about 1.5 hours. I know.
That must have hurt.
I
don't even, you know, for me, I'm really into just making the best product that I can make. That's really important to me. So if I feel that someone who's more experienced is going to come in and come with a fresh perspective, then I am 100% down to listen to any critique. You know, I'm always trying to grow as a filmmaker. I'm always trying to, you know, be my best, you know, give people the best version of my work.
That's beautiful.
So I didn't even fight it. And the changes that they suggested actually made the movie flow so beautifully. We got into Pan-African Film Festival. We just got into another film festival, which is part of AFI in DC.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you so, so much. We held our premiere here in Dar es Salaam. On the same day, there was a screening that happened in Nairobi and a screening that happened in Kampala. So there was like a three simultaneous screenings of the movie.
That is wonderful.
And the feedback, the feedback has been amazing. So I'm really, really happy right now.
I'm so happy for you. Now, one thing that I loved is, you know, talking of the Pan-African Film Festival, is that Binti premiered in PAV on March 8th, which basically coincided with International Women's Day. I mean, as a story centered around women, how did that feel?
It felt amazing. It really felt amazing. And actually, this is the first movie that I've done, or really the first piece of content that I've worked on where I've really centered women. I feel like my other works, whether it's feature or the series work I've done or the documentary work I've done, has always kind of centered men. So this was the first time where I was really delving into women and our issues, our tribulations. And it's really it's been the most rewarding work that I've done.
Wow. I'm speechless right now. That's like ticking every box as you go.
When I took it on, I was like, oh, this is going to be just like any other project. But especially when I was editing, you know, when I was really living with these characters, I realized how much it affected me as well. It got me thinking a lot about my own life.
That's powerful.
So why
should people watch Binti? What should we be looking forward to when we see this movie?
A number of things. One, you know, there's so many countries that have told their stories. And yes, we grew up with their stories. I think it's so beautiful if for now we turn the gaze inwards and we start watching our stories, valuing our stories. 100%. And of course, you know, I feel like, yes, women will get out something out of Binti, but I also feel like men will as well. I was actually right before we started this interview, I was doing interviews with my cast. These are interviews that are going to run on social media. And I was asking them how they felt about the movie. And it's so interesting that the male cast members were like, it was very emotional because they're like, this is the first time I really thought about my mom. You know, my mom. Right. Because he was like, you know, growing up, mom is always mom. You know, it's like, mom, I need this. Mom, I need that. Mom.
But
he was like, this is the first time I've thought about her as a person and what that must have been like from her perspective, right? As a human, like this is not just mom, okay? Yeah. This is an actual human being.
She's got feelings. You know? She has lived life. Will she not lead?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, it was it's like I'd never really, and you know, for him, he was raised by a single mom, and he was like, this just brought so much perspective
to what she was going
to, you know, the way that I view my own parent. And, you know, for the other one who also has a wife, he was like, I realized I need to step it up.
You know? Like, hey, I'm doing enough.
I mean, if they learn something from it, that's beautiful. I mean, this is why we put our media out there, you know? This is why we create these stories.
Like you said, turning the gaze inwards.
Precisely. So we can affect culture and, you know, create our, and also to push back against certain narratives, that are sometimes kind of harmful.
Those stereotypes, right?
No, we just like to know, you know, this is your second movie that you're directing. Would you have any advice for newbie African directors out there?
Go for it. Do it. Don't let those voices in your head tell you otherwise. I really believe if God puts a dream in your heart, you're meant to do that thing. And you should pursue it. Regardless of what your ego might tell you, or, you know, that little devil on your shoulder that tells you you're not good enough. Trust me, we're all just bungling through life. We all don't know what we're doing.
We don't know.
So don't think that everybody has it figured out. Just go for it.
That's beautiful. I mean, eventually you get the hang of it, right?
Fingers crossed. That's the goal.
Yeah, sometimes you don't.
That's the goal.
The first day of production, I'm always just like, oh my God. What am I doing here? Why are they asking me questions?
You know. Jesus, confused.
We're also human, you know. But I love that, you know, the fact that you still keep going. I think that's really beautiful, you know. Like, see, sometimes we do second guess ourselves, but the fact that you know, you'll still push. I love that.
You still push. Yeah. The more you push, I think the more you can lead yourself towards your destiny. The more you push,
definitely.
So keep pushing.
Push.
Keep pushing. Seko Shamte, where and how can we connect with you?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, online. The only social media I have is Instagram.
Okay.
So it's
that's rare.
At Seko, S-E-K-O, _ Shamte, S-H-A-M-T-E. But you can also go to my website. It's Alchemist. alchemisttz.com. But I think Instagram is really the easiest way to reach out to me. Just hit me up in the DMs, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You know how it is.
All right, it's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Yes, it has. Thank you so much for letting us talk to you today.
Thank you for having me.
And we look forward to seeing Binti. We really do. I can't wait to see the movie.
Good luck to it.
Yay, coming soon.
All of the festivals. Yes, good luck to it in all of the festivals. And we're looking forward to more projects by you. Truly.
Working on it. Working on it.
Yes, please.
Love to hear that.
I can't wait to report on it. Yes.
All right.
Thank you guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Have a blessed day.
Oh my gosh, you sound so excited about it.
I would be too. Oh. It's definitely an interesting film to be a part of. I mean, it's already making its festival runs and it'll be out in cinemas on April 9th.
Oh no, that's great, bruh. Another film that's been making the film festival rounds is a Lesotho film called This Is Not a Burial. It's a resurrection.
Yes, I saw that it was included in the foreign language category for best foreign film in the Academy Awards. I'm really excited for it.
And unfortunately, it didn't make the cut, but it has so far been able to attract a lot of critical praise and awards, like over 25 to be exact. And this has all been happening since its premiere at the 2019 Venice International Film Festival.
Over 25, that's a lot.
One of them was a special jury award at the Sundance Film Festival for visionary filmmaking for its director, Lemohang Jeremiah Musese.
Oof. Visionary filmmaking.
That
sounds like a really great achievement.
Truly. It's one of the greatest compliments I believe you could give a filmmaker. Like, hey, not only is your work great, it's freaking visionary.
It's visionary. No, definitely. You know, I've actually heard really great things about the film itself. So I honestly can't believe the hype.
I mean, with a title like that.
From what I remember, the film is about an old widow who lives in a small village that gets threatened with resettlement because of a reservoir that some company plans to build. She's heavily against it and finds the strength to fight for her community. You know, I had a script like that like many, many years ago.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I still need to... Right.
You gotta push. Seko said, you gotta push.
And I'm gonna push.
Push it.
Yes.
Yes. Look what happens when you push. You go into film festivals. Right. This is what I'm saying.
But it's a really beautiful storyline.
Yeah. And it's a strong enough storyline, right? Mm-hmm. But now what makes it so interesting is the way the director chose to shoot it. Okay. So firstly, Musese is self-taught, right? Lesotho, did you know Lesotho doesn't have a cinema?
No.
Lesotho doesn't have a cinema, bruh.
Oh. Okay.
Bruh, it's that small, right? I thought I was from a small town. It's that small, dude. No cinema, no real, you know, film culture. Mm. But he was able to fall in love with it by watching 60mm films in like a town hall in Maseru.
Oh.
So now with this film, he chose to shoot it at 4.3 aspect ratio. And I can't help but think it's due to his upbringing.
I mean,
yeah, you know,
what's the usual cinema ratio?
Why are you quizzing me on the spot? You know I'm not good at these technical things. Oh my gosh.
It's all right. But you know, we can totally see that's basically his main factor.
Mm.
Like, but it must have come out beautifully.
Oh, you have no idea. The picture textured. It gives so much depth to every scene. Mm. And like the landscapes, you see, ask me about these things. not technicalities. I know these
okay,
things.
Okay, Nikki, it's fine.
Yes, no. Okay. But the landscapes, right? It's just, oh, chef's kiss.
Mm.
The play with color themes is just really, really pretty. Contrasting colors against the dullness of the surrounding village makes such a powerful image. And by dullness, it's like, you know, with villages, especially small.
It's dusty.
Yeah, it's got that dusty pastel feel. Mm. And then he's got these strong, bright contrasting colors, like the paint in the grandmother's room, the bright redness of her bedspread. It's gorgeous. Ooh. It's beautiful.
It sounds like you've watched it already, Wena. Do you not have a private screening? I don't know about.
I wish. If anyone wants to invite me to those, please, I'm ready. But you know me, I'm all about them trailers when it comes to short films.
Yeah, no, thank goodness for trailers.
Hey, if nobody got me, I know trailers got me. Can I get a whoop whoop? Thank you. Man, trailers. It's like if they had a slogan, it would be like, trailers, even me, I want to see. You know, allowing us a peek at the bigger picture since forever.
Yeah, but they are like a window to the film. Literally. You know, it's literally that.
Yeah, then they're like, hey, do you want to come inside? Here's the movie. I just need the movie.
Here's the key.
I just need the movie.
Well, hopefully we will watch this next one when it comes out.
Oh, another one?
Mm. It seems a group of young creatives have joined forces to shoot a new local feature film in Namibia.
Hey, yes. It's titled... Guys, I just need a moment. All right. It is titled Wustem Salam.
Mm.
Wustem Salam. Warning, it is not spelled how it sounds, okay? But yes.
It's Afrikaans, right?
Yes. Mm. And it means Desert Psalm. In English. Psalm is in the Book of Psalms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful name.
You know?
And it's a passion project of students from around the world. The team consists of people from not only Namibia, but South Africa, America, even the Netherlands.
You know, I'm really loving that there's so many stories like that, because even Seko has the story.
Right.
Just having to bring people from all over the world together to make a single project.
A global production. That's what you call
more,
a global production.
Yes. It's becoming more and more accessible and more real.
We're doing it.
Let's do it. Because now all of these students involved have been they've dedicated themselves to the project.
Mm.
And all of them are planning to even come to Namibia because they want to shoot it in Namibia.
And it's not a short film. It's a whole feature length.
Yo. No, they're just really going all out for this one, huh? They're just like, let's do it.
It's a passion project.
Yeah.
This is definitely a passion project.
Yep.
And you call it a passion project for a reason. Mm. You know, sometimes your passion just takes the wheel and drives the course of the project for you.
True that. You know, the film itself, you know, it's like, just to give a short synopsis on what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a young female preacher who crisscrosses the desert to preach to a dwindling faith community.
Mm, hence the name Desert Psalm.
Desert Psalm, exactly.
That's beautiful. Exactly. Now, the fact that the preacher is a woman already intrigues me. I'm used to the male preacher format.
Right,
so,
right.
Hey.
And like, even though the logline is based on religion, the producer, Anna Lee, she spoke of how there's so many cultural and historical aspects of Namibia that remain unknown to, you know, to the world at large. So I'm interested to see how the story will touch on those themes.
Mm. I also heard that it's loosely based on a true story.
According
to the writer Ben van der Waalt,
mm-hmm.
I already see the historical theme playing a huge role here.
Yeah, like I like how he described the film itself. He was like, it narrates the physical and emotional challenges of keeping something you love alive in a desert.
Ooh, yeah, I can see why he's the writer.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Flows so beautifully.
One thing I really love about these students, though, is that they're aware of the ton of work that needs to go into this.
Exactly.
They've already set up social media accounts, you know. You gotta promote this.
Yeah.
And they're currently running a fundraising campaign to help bring this whole project to life.
That's what I like to see. Filmmakers making a way one way or another. push.
Like Seko Shamte said,
push.
You keep pushing.
Keep referencing her this
pushing.
We keep referencing her.
I mean.
She made so many good points. But yes, dude, it's all about pushing. It's all about pushing.
I mean, and it's not easy. It's really not.
Mm.
But hey, on the flip side, it's not impossible either.
And if there's even a 0.1% chance at success, the fact remains, still a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope they succeed. I mean, they would be such a wonderful success story for Namibia.
True. You know who else would be a wonderful success story?
What?
Come on.
The, you know who else would be a wonderful success story? I'm not saying it. I'm not. I love regular show. I really do. My entire being, but I'm not saying it. I am not saying it. Shout out Muscle Man. I'm not doing it.
I hope you guys got the reference. But anyway, I was going to say another full success story is Zack Snyder.
Oh, snap. Yes. Zack Snyder's Justice League director's cut super length 4-hour bonanza. It's finally out.
Ooh, that's the title of the film?
I mean, I'd name it that, and I would watch it 4 times every day.
Well, people have already, and from the reviews, it looks like, against all the odds and criticism, it's really good.
Really good, really good. Like, I was also one of the people who were just like, Zack Snyder. You know, like, I didn't have a lot of faith in it. But it's actually, let's give it props where it deserves. Let's give it the recognition it deserves.
You know,
deserves.
I mean, the last time we checked, it was 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's good.
That's fresh, you know. Fresh meaning, you know, the public consider it a good film.
Yes. Mm. And even the reviews that came in before its launch, you know, it was like a mixture of people repenting their previous doubts and others reclaiming it's a work of pure action art.
Yeah,
so, I mean, he did something good there.
I mean, you know, like, I'm planning on watching it this weekend. So I didn't really read, so avoid spoilers. I haven't even watched the trailers. But, like, you know, it's exciting. It's nice when people hit it. When people hit the hole they're planning to.
Well, you're definitely going to be blown away from the action scenes alone. From what I've seen, Snyder did not hold back in the slightest.
Oh, I'm so ready. I'm so excited.
Okay, can I just like give just one little spoiler?
No.
Just one.
No.
It's not even like really a spoiler. It's not a spoiler.
What?
One fan mentioned how he was surprised by how important Cyborg is to the whole story.
Uh-huh.
That he is truly the core of it all.
Okay.
This is not a spoiler.
Oh, but this makes me so excited. Like, because there'd been rumors before the, like, do I even call it the original now? Before the first cut, I want to call Zack Snyder's director's cut the original. So, like, before the first cut of the film, there had been rumors beforehand that Cyborg played a vital role in the plot, you know. And then the film came out and we're all like, hey, where, we can't see. So now to think that, oh my gosh, those rumors are actually true and it just got cut out. Okay, I have to watch. I have to see, like, what's cutting, you know?
Right? The magic that happens when unbridled imagination meets talented experience.
Thank you. You know, at the end of the day, I'm just really glad we get to watch it and it's not just a trailer.
Well, at least there are film festivals that are free to join and enjoy. And before you ask, you know, COVID, whatever issues, they are actually virtual.
Oh, okay. So then we can attend the film fest. Hashtag blessed. Okay.
And we've been attending one this week, eh?
Yes. Oh, my God. Okay, it's a mouthful to say, so bear with me for a second. Oof, these titles are getting longer and longer every day. All right, it's called the I Represent International Virtual Documentary Film Festival. I Rep AWDFF 2021. For short.
I don't know if it's short enough, but okay. We tried. They tried. Yeah, but it's been a really fun time. The festival started Thursday, 18th March, and will be going through the weekend until the 21st.
Whoop, whoop.
2 days before my birthday.
Hey, just letting y'all know. Just letting you know. It's birthday month.
Right? The films themselves have been screened via Vimeo, and for the opening acts, I mean, they've been really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just happy to finally attend a film festival. That's really where I'm coming from. It's been so long.
Too long.
So yesterday was just a joy, you know, from start to finish. And they're offering, you know, usual extras, you know, film Q&As, webinars, presentations, the wakes.
And I think I like the fact that it's just all going to be in the comfort of your bedroom or your living room or wherever feel like you want to watch a film.
Doing other things and then you're like, oh, let me catch a film. Let me chill in this Q&A.
Snuggle up.
Comfy.
And the discussions have been insightful. You know, it's wonderful learning and conversing with your fellow peers.
Yeah.
Plus, the variety that the festival offers in terms of getting people from different African countries really does help give different perspectives.
That's what a film festival is for.
Another,
you know?
Global festival.
Ay. And it's a whole day situation. Like, screenings start at 11 a.m. GMT and only end around 1 a.m. the next day. So it's like your typical fully immersive experience of a real festival for the entire weekend. Heaven on earth, is that you? Is that me?
I'm so looking forward to seeing more screeners this weekend.
Yo,
really am.
Plus Justice League, a full weekend indeed. We better call it a wrap if we want to head start on it all.
Right?
So please, from America to Namibia, it's great to see filmmakers going out of their way to bring their visions to life, no matter the obstacles.
And it's always such a joy to see small places like Lesotho make global waves and to see even more African short films through virtual film festivals.
Special thanks to our content contributors, Muchemo Sinkala, Amber Indongeset, and Aaron J. Tamale for sourcing the news for this week's podcast.
Before we go, show some love for your new favorite podcast by following Multijustin Factory on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook to keep up with us and everything related to us.
Yes.
Which countries will we cover next? Zimbabwe?
Malawi?
Congo?
Tunisia?
Tune in next week to find out as we continue to bring you anything and everything film in Africa. Same place, same time. I'm Serena.
And this is Nikki Neo signing out.
Salang Sintle.